to the Fit and Fabulous podcast with Dr. Jamie Seaman.
Hi, and welcome back to our second episode of the Fit and Fabulous podcast. I just want to take one moment here at the beginning to thank everybody for the incredible, incredible response to our first episode of the Fit and Fabulous podcast. If you didn't hear the big news, we went top 15 on Apple Podcasts for health and fitness podcasts in the US. And I was mind blown, very emotional about it. It was a 26 minute episode of just me talking. So thank you to each and every one of you that downloaded the podcast on Apple Podcasts and went and left reviews. It's super helpful to continue to grow on this platform. So I just want to thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. So welcome to the second episode, and I'm super excited about today's guest. He might not be nationally known, but he's a huge part of my life. And I said on the last podcast that I think this world is about human transactions, human energy, and I owe today's guest so much for where I am today, and he'll never take credit for it. But a couple of years ago, this guest invited me on his podcast, I was so honored. I think it was the first podcast that I was asked to be on. And
oh my
gosh, I
did not know that.
I think it was. And I showed up and we had the most incredible time chatting about the ketogenic lifestyle and made such a great connection. This man is an entrepreneur. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself, but he's a huge part of my life, and he's a huge part of an upcoming event called Keto Summit Omaha. And this podcast is sponsored by Keto Summit Omaha, which is the largest keto conference happening in the Midwest. It might be the only one happening in 2021.
Right.
So if you're interested in low carb, interested in keto, ketogenic therapies, everything from diabetes to building muscle, all the benefits of ketosis, you can go to www.ketosummitomaha.com. That will take you back to our Facebook page where you can find a link for tickets and a link. You can see all the speakers that we're bringing in for this absolutely incredible event. That's August 19th and 20th. Right here in Omaha, Nebraska. So go check it out. But I want to introduce you to our guest. It is the one and only Jay Morales. Jay, thank you for coming.
I'm so excited. I am your first official guest on your podcast, right? Is that right?
Yeah, because the last one was just me. So
right.
I think that technically makes you the first guest on my podcast.
Yes.
And I recorded my first guest podcast on yours. So I feel like we're coming full circle.
Circle for sure. And she was what, top 15? Let's go for top number one with my face going nationwide now.
We're gonna make you famous, Jay.
Yeah,
we're
absolutely
gonna make you famous.
Well, thank you for having me.
But Jay, tell the world a little bit about yourself and what you do for a living, and let us get to know you just a little bit.
Absolutely. So like Jamie says, serial entrepreneur, right? Serial entrepreneur. I just love to have my hands in many things. And for me, it's about experiences. It's about journey and then maybe the money. But I'm involved in insurance and financial services. But beyond that is I'm a podcaster. I am an author now, which it feels weird to say. I love doing events like this. I love sharing my journey with people. I'm just a connector. I love just connecting with people. And really, how you were explaining your story, I never really heard it that way. But yeah, it's crazy who you connect with and how life comes full circle. For me, I still remember our first day, our very first podcast recording. I didn't even know who you were. We were just connected with the right people. But it started there, and here we are.
Yeah, Jay invited me to a literal podcast studio. I mean, this place was fancy. It had all like the things on the walls with these fancy mics and the headphones. And I walk in and they're doing sound checks. And I'm like, this is legit.
Yes.
And Jay's podcast is called The Connection. But
yes,
for him to invite a gynecologist on there to talk about keto,
right,
it was so cool. And the reason that Jay and I really got connected was because Jay had started the ketogenic diet. So Jay, tell us a little bit about how you ever got into eating low carb and keto and where you were at in your life and what that transformation looks like.
So they say you are who your tribe is, right? You are the sum of the people you hang out with. So I was in a place in my life that I was seeking a better health lifestyle for myself, but I've done so many shortcuts before. I've done the shakes, I've done the shots, I've done the fad diets, I've done the 30-day challenges and the challenges and challenges. I was never following a lifestyle. So I got deep into it. And some of my friends, I noticed, I'm like, hey, you lost 50 pounds, you know, or you gained your health back. How did you do it? And they were telling me about, well, I'm eating a lot of bacon and cheese. And again, counterintuitive, right? You're like, no, I can't do that. My cholesterol is just going to be crazy. There's no way. Well, long story short, I did a deep dive. I did my own research. And I said, well, I'm just going to try this. I started with just eating bacon and coffee and steak. And I thought, this can't be hard because I love all those things. And the pounds just started melting away. So at my lowest, I lost 70 pounds in about 18 months. But I didn't lose it like in a miraculous way. It was coming off. My cognitive function was so much better. My energy was so much better. But that's what started the journey for me. I was modeling my behavior after people I saw and people I wanted to be like. And then I met you, who formalized all of my education. And that's probably when I went all in.
So when you first started, you were kind of essentially winging it. I mean, tell me what that first day or that moment was like for somebody that's listening. Yeah. That's like, I think I want to try this, but I don't even know how to start.
My very first keto meal was bacon weaved cheese sandwich. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. How do you remember this? My friend told me, Jay, here's how I started. Here's what you should do. He sent me a picture of a pound of bacon. He wove the stuff together, put it in the microwave and cheese. Now, while I was waiting for that to cook, I Googled, right? I said, keto diet. 30,000 things came up, right? Do this, don't do that. Do this, don't do that. I kind of stepped away from it and I just went back to what my friends were telling me, the little bits of information. I never had a credible source. I tried crazy things. Oh, bullet coffee and oh, coconut oil in this. And do you put maca powder? Do you not put maca powder? Is lemon bad for you? Is it, you know, there were so many things. I was overwhelmed, but I decided to stay the course. And then I remember losing my appetite because I would always have that, oh, it's breakfast. Oh, it's lunch. And it's, but I would start, I'm not hungry. You know, it's not that I was appalled at food or not, you know, not hungry. I just didn't feel hunger pangs anymore. And so it was a very confusing time. I listened to too many people. And then when I met Dr. Fit and Fabulous, that's when a friend named Michelle, a mutual friend of ours, said, you need to follow her. I started reading her posts first. And I started saying, well, if I'm going to meet this person, I need to be smart. And I modeled my behavior after what she was posting. And it was simple. It was easy. It was layman terms. Then I said, well, she's talking about this guy, Dr. Palladino, and she's talking about this other guy, and she's talking about Dr. Sivas and Dr. Ken Berry. Then because of her influence, I started following these people, making my journey better, right? I knew where my information was coming from, but not in the beginning. I was trying everything.
So you admit that it was like trial and error when you're first starting.
Totally.
And that's one thing that I say to a lot of people is really you have to be your own expert, because the way that your friend starts it and you start it, everybody is going to respond differently. And I have a question, because one of the things when I asked about what episode should I have is they said, can you please put a real person on your podcast, you know, that's lived this way, just normal person, you know, not going to talk all the science and whatever.
Right.
But I want to talk about a few of the things that I think people struggle with who are starting. What was the perception of your family and friends and kind of people in your life when you started this?
Oh, gosh. My mother, my cousins, my wife, my good friends were like, oh, that cholesterol is just going to put you 6 feet under. Jay, you know you're Filipino. You can't have all these, you know, high cholesterol levels. You're going to die young like all your uncles. So all that's in my head, right? But at the end of the day, that's what they were taught. And I'm glad I didn't listen to them, because I thought to myself, well, what's the worst case if I'm just going to follow something and I'm going to discipline myself? It wasn't difficult. The most difficult part was telling people I was doing keto. So guess what I did? I stopped. I stopped telling them. I stopped telling people you're doing keto. Stop telling people you're doing this thing. Just do, and guess what? People will leave you alone. But if you make it a special subject, they will challenge you. You could say, listen, I'm doing this ABC diet. They've heard bad things about this ABC diet. Now when people ask me, you know, hey, what did you do? I watch what I eat, and I'm proud to say that I did keto or I do keto. I don't get into debates like I used to. I used to debate like crazy. You don't have to defend what you believe in if it works for you, right?
Yeah, that's one thing that I tell a lot of people is you don't owe anybody an explanation for what you're doing. You know, right. When people ask, oh, I'm just trying to improve my health. I'm trying to improve my metabolic health. You know, maybe you are trying to lose some weight, but you really don't owe anybody an explanation. And that's a lot of times when I talk to people about talking to your medical providers, you know, a lot of medical providers aren't really, you know, don't have sound nutrition education, especially in ketogenic therapies. And keto gets a bad rap because everybody thinks it's about weight loss. And they want to take it back to this idea of, well, just reduce calories. And you guys all heard on the first episode, if you didn't listen to it, go back and listen to the first episode. But there's so many more benefits to being in a state of ketosis, even if it's for periodic times in your life. You know, you don't have to be in ketosis 100% of the time.
Right.
But even if it's for weeks at a time, this idea of becoming keto adapted and more metabolically flexible is really kind of the end game. So you had mentioned that you had tried lots of different, you know, shakes and all this and all that. So tell me, why do you feel that starting a ketogenic diet was more successful than everything else you had tried and failed before? What was it that made it more successful? Or can you put your finger on that?
While you're talking, I'm processing, and I think it's more of a behavior change because it's understandable and relatable. I'll just disclose, I took HCG shots, you know, when I was 34 years old. I don't even know what it stands for, right? I just know I paid somebody $1,000. They said, you're going to lose a bunch of weight. And guess what? I lost a bunch of weight, didn't feel the greatest. I rebounded even worse than I was, but I didn't understand that. So full circle, come to keto, I know how to prepare a steak, right? I can eat as much steak as I want. This is the way I do it, right? I can eat bacon, I can have coffee, I can have the things that I love, but I do understand my relationship with food now. I know what carbs do to you. I understand, listen, again, I bring this up. The Filipino heritage in me says, if you don't eat rice daily, that's sacrilegious. You have to eat rice all the time. It's the standard Filipino diet. I know now to substitute it for cauliflower rice. So what's changed? It's the understanding of the simplicity and the behavior. Do I know what it does to my A1C? I trust people like you to tell that what it does for me, but I don't need to understand that stuff. You know what I mean? I know how it's very easy to follow. I don't feel like it's a diet. You know, sometimes when you eat a pound and a half of steak, how could you feel like you're on a diet, you know?
Right.
So
since I'm an obstetrician and HCG is very near and dear to my heart, it stands for human chorionic gonadotropin.
Yes.
So you're actually taking hormones that are produced during pregnancy.
Yes.
I mean, these are the crazy things that patients, you know, do, go on a celery juice cleanse and things that aren't sustainable. And obviously you've proven that you've been doing keto for how long? Or off and on.
3 years.
For three years.
Yeah.
And I've been living this lifestyle since 2016, so almost mm-hmm. 5 years now. And the reason that I think it was successful, I'll give my opinion here.
Yes.
You know, the reason I think it was successful for you is because in a state of ketosis, we see suppression of ghrelin, one of our appetite hormones. So
right.
People actually tend to, you kind of said your appetite goes away, those
yes.
hunger cravings go away and people feel better. And, you know, there's some anti-inflammatory effects of ketones when we talked about them as signaling molecules. So there's a variety of actual physiologic adaptations that are happening when you adopt a ketogenic diet. And that's why I find patients are able to stick to it. Now, I get it. Carbs are very addictive. And I'm sure there's been periods of time where you've kind of fallen off
yes,
the, you know, low-carb
sure.
keto train.
And absolutely.
I think that's the normal ebbs and flows of being humans because nobody is perfect and you just can't ebb or flow too long.
Right.
And you got to get back on it. And I've been there too. Absolutely been there too. And so, but it is a sustainable lifestyle. And, you know, for me, when I fixed my health, it opened up like all these other windows. And I've watched Jay over the last couple of years kind of transform his life. He, you know, is like doing his podcast and he's writing a book. And we're going to talk about your book here, you know, in a little bit. But talk to me about your family, you know, because I have a husband, I have three daughters, you have kids, you have a wife. What was that like? Like, did you just come home and tell your wife and kids, like, I'm doing this? Or like, how did that family dynamic play into this?
That's so great because, again, all of our kids, we have four children, right? Ranging from 12 years old to 24 years old. My wife said, oh, okay, that's cool. You know, you're doing your keto thing. She just thought I was doing another diet, right? She watched me. My son and I, Mason, he's 12 years old. I was quite large at one time that my cheeks, when I would shake my face, my cheeks would go like that.
I wish people could see the podcast people, maybe we, or the YouTube people, maybe we can get this before and after.
Yes.
The before and after, but it's an impressive picture of what Jay Morales used to look like. I was pretty mind blown because I met him, you know, after he had lost all this weight doing the ketogenic diet. And so I didn't realize what he had looked like, you know, in years prior. And
I looked like the Nutty Professor. but back to Mason. So Mason saw what happened with me. I never said, Mason, you have to do this.
He's your 12
He's my 12-year-old, yes.
Son.
And he saw this, and he's an athlete. Mason is an athlete. And he said, Dad, I want to do what you're doing. I never pushed it on him. And I can still remember that day. Like, it's a little emotional for me because.
Yeah.
It's your son, right? And he said, Dad, I want to get healthy like you. And this kid went from two Cokes on a dinner when we're in the restaurant and a dessert to he probably hasn't had a Pepsi in 2 years or a Coke or whatever, any pop. He doesn't force himself. Dad, can you make some for me too? He'll make himself his own eggs. He understands and he doesn't have lunch food from school. He packs his own lunch and he is one of the best athletes, you know, just from a performance, he performs
having
well.
Perform,
yeah, cognitive and all that stuff. Yeah.
In school and on the field
yes.
and all these places.
Yeah, sorry, I got a little emotional. Yeah. But he is the reason why I probably keep continuing. And my son models that. And he spoke at Keto Summit last year. And he's not one of those kids that say, oh, don't do that. Oh, I don't eat sugar. He doesn't eat sugar. He doesn't eat carbs. He doesn't crave them. He doesn't shame people for that. He just knows what they do for him, right? Mm-hmm. And he lost weight, but he's very trim. And I don't push it on him, right? And I'm not going to lie. He has a cookie here every now and then. And he'll look at me and I'll say, it's fine, son. You're 12 years old, you know, but I hope that we can include a picture because I'd really want you to see what he looks like.
Yeah. A lot of people, when we made the transition, really asked, you know, how do you feed your kids? What do you do in your home? And I think one thing that resonated with me as you're kind of talking about Mason is that I think sometimes we, kind of discount the fact that our kids really learn everything they know by watching us.
Oh,
right. As little human babies, I mean, they literally, you know, you're like dada. They say dada. I mean, you're mimicking and modeling these behaviors. And when you go to the store and you buy mac and cheese and you buy Goldfish crackers and you buy those things and you bring them into your home, of course your kids are going to want to eat those things. And our job as parents is to make sure that our children thrive in this world, right? We always want the best for them. But what's amazing is we would literally, you know, die for our kids. Most people, right, would. They
absolutely
put their life on the line.
Yes.
But then when it comes to nutrition and health, like, we don't model those behaviors.
No.
And then we expect, you know, they grow up and become adults and leave the house. They're supposed to figure it out on their own. And so what we did in our house is that my husband and I, Ben, really figured it out for ourselves until we felt like we were in a good place. And then I believe it was like January of 2018, we kind of said, okay, we're going to start cleaning up the kids' diet. So I just kind of changed some of the snacks I was buying. You know, I don't tell my kids, this is bad food, this is good food. There's no inherently bad or good food. It's the abuse, you know, and misuse of a lot of these foods over and over and over that lead to poor health. And so what we did is we talked about how the food makes us feel, how the food makes us function. Like you said, you know, Mason wants his brain work, you know, to work good in school, and he wants to perform on the field. And so that's what we talk about in our house is how, you know, the foods make us feel and what they do inside of our body. And we don't make anything a villain. My kids have carbs and sugar on occasion too, but kids really, they go in and out of ketosis and burn glycogen so much faster than Jay and I.
For sure.
And so they can tolerate those things, you know. So it's really just understanding and teaching them just the basics of nutrition and eating whole foods. You know, my kids definitely have more fruits and more vegetables and things like that because Ben and I eat such a carnivore, you know, based diet. But I just want people to hear that I see so many female patients in my clinic and they're like, okay, I want to do this, but there's no way my husband and my kids will buy in. Yeah. And I think that's a hard dynamic. I think that's a hard dynamic because there is this circle of influence. And sometimes the people in your home, you know, will try to sabotage you because it makes them uncomfortable when you make these changes. And maybe they're not ready, you know, to be in the same place. And so that's when you have to have family meetings and you have to talk about what your goals are.
Right.
You know, I would have had a family meeting at the time and I would have said, you know, mommy's sick and mommy's tired and mommy wants to feel better and function better.
Yep.
So I'm going to start making these changes. And mm-hmm. anybody that wants to do it along with me is more than welcome. You know, you can't force people into doing this. I get messages all the time and you've probably seen this. My mom or cousin, whoever, is so adamant that I should, you know, stop this lifestyle. And they're a diabetic and they would benefit so much. And they go back and forth and expend all this energy on trying to convince people, you know, that they should do it. And
you have to set the example. Can mm-hmm. I share one more story?
So absolutely.
Mason goes to three primary families that are really close friends with him, you know, him and his friends. They know about his ketogenic lifestyle and they actually make special meals for him. Sometimes they don't even tell us. You know, they just honor that. And what matter of fact, one of them is a surgeon. And Mason said, you know what, Dad? They made it keto style for me. They didn't give me any carbs and they made broccoli and they made cauliflower for me. I called them. I said, oh, you don't have to do that. Did Mason ask for that? No, we see you and we see what he does. And we saw him at the keto summit. So he's an influencer in his own way. And he doesn't shame people. He sets the example. And a lot of his friends ask him about, you know, the keto diet, but I don't know if he even knows. Do you know what I mean? I think mm-hmm. he just knows how to eat correctly and he knows what carb addiction is. He knows what chocolate does and what candy does and what its function is and where its place is in society. So,
yeah, gosh, yeah. I mean, I wish I knew at his age what I know now, because as a kid, I grew up in the 80s and we were eating Hamburger Helper, like
yes.
without the hamburger.
Yes.
I mean, no offense to my parents and in any way, shape or form, you know,
We just didn't know.
We lived in the world where it was like low fat, low fat, low fat, low fat. And every time in my life that I tried to lose weight, I just tried to count calories because I thought that's what you had to do.
And fats, right? Calories and fats. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Fat's gotten such a bad rap. That could be its own whole podcast. So,
absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing your kind of ketogenic journey. I know this is going to resonate with somebody out there that's listening that was in your position of just being sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Absolutely.
And talking about Mason and that, you know, kids can definitely adopt eating a whole food nutritional diet. It's absolutely sustainable. So one thing that I want to talk about is your new book, because you have a new book coming out. So tell us, like, how did this, like, idea come up? What was the process like, you know, with the book? And I'm just super excited because I, of course, you know, that's on my list of things. I know everybody listening is like, oh, I hope she writes a book. I hope she writes a book. I mean, I'm working on it, but it's like a multi-year process.
So I will tell you, I have been writing a book in my mind, for 15 years. Now you're saying, come on, Jay. Yes. I've seen motivational speakers and consultants and influencers like yourself who have great platforms. And I said, that's how I want to be. But it was just on my list, right? Just like this lifestyle was just on my list. Again, you are who your tribe is. And when I met people like you, you know, people who I interact with, one of the people we know, Matt Bills, who has a book, I said, I can do this. I want to do this. I want to better myself. The book was not intended for me to make money, right? The book was intended for me to better myself. What does that mean? The process in making this book, it was an 18-month journey when I actually decided to put my head down, pen to paper, to outline, down to formatting it, down to line editing it, content editing it, having a writing coach, right? Hiring a team, having someone design the cover, because if I was going to design the cover, this would never get done. Why did I do it? I did it because I said I was going to do it, and I'm tired of just saying things. And I look at people like you who they say they're going to do something, and they do it. And so it came full circle. I'm tired of saying things, and I just want to do them. So my catchphrase is always, let's go. Wait, Jay, we got to figure this out. Forget it. Let's go. The name of the book is Let's Go. One powerful phrase can change your entire life. And I believe that. when I started the ketogenic lifestyle, I just said, let's go. I don't know about that. Let's go. Hey, it's been working for 2 months. Let's go. Oh my gosh, this is so difficult. This is my first time intermittent fasting. Let's go. Let's go applies to every facet of your life. Whether you are a military commander saying, let's go into battle, whether you are coaching one of your patients into, listen, we need to get your diabetes under control, let's go. It's just a phrase that gives yourself permission and makes you fully aware of like what's ahead of you versus going, getting stuck in the past and just dwelling. So that's what the book is about. It's 8 chapters of self-development, but self-actualization. And yeah, is it about motivation? It's more about discipline. It's more about getting disciplined. And I just always say, let's go. So
I love it. It reminds me of something that you and I talk about all the time. The difference between interest and, you know, commitment. Like everybody's interested
all day,
but not many people are committed to actually following through on what they said they were going to do. Mm-hmm. So it's like who you are some of the time is who you are all the time. And
right.
you aren't what you said you were going to do. You
Absolutely.
Are what you do in life.
100%. And I'm so people say, hey, do you like so-and-so, Jay? Or do you like them? Do you, what do you think about this person? So I will tell you, there's a level of attraction for everybody to me. So people say, well, what do you mean by that? When I see a person who is crushing their goals, who is saying, executing, following through, inspirational, I'm very attracted to that, right?
Heck yeah, those are the people you want to be in a relationship with, you want to do business with them.
All day.
You want to hang out at the bar with them.
Yes.
Because you literally become the people that you hang out with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and people say, well, gosh, if I do this, I'm going to lose a couple. If I become this successful, I might make so-and-so angry. Oh, I don't want to outdo my friends. Don't worry about the people you worry about, right? Stop worrying about the people you worry about. Worry about yourself and let's go and just do it. And if they stay your friends, guess what? They were your real friends. And if they're not, somebody more successful or somebody more attractive will replace that person.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Yeah. And you can't be afraid to be the eagle and just fly alone sometimes.
You have to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And success is lonely. People say, well, what does that mean? It means that sometimes you got to lock yourself in a room, block everyone out, stop all the noise and just work and just work. Yeah. And I freaking love to work. That's something I think you and I have in common.
Yeah.
There, people saw our calendars.
They would die. Just reading it, I think people would fall over at the pace that we live.
Yeah.
And people a lot of times are like, I don't know how you do it. And honestly, I answer, I'm not sure how I do it. I just do it. it's like your book, like, let's go.
Let's go, right.
Idle time for me, periods of my life where I've had gaps, weeks, months, or whatever it is, have been the least productive periods of time in my entire life. And I just thrive on, you know, being busy and productive and accomplishing things. And that's just how my internal, you know, engine really works. And I think yours does too, which is why we get along so great.
Absolutely.
But, okay. So for those on YouTube, they can see us and where we're sitting. And for those in the podcast world, you can't, but we are at the Relevant Center in Elkhorn, Omaha, Nebraska, where Keto Summit is going to be held. And I said that they were a sponsor of this podcast. So thank you to Keto Summit for that. But we're in this amazing room. And last year, Keto Summit happened. It was one of the best conferences of 2020. Also probably one of the only conferences of 2020 because it was pre-COVID.
Right. It was just about to happen.
And for those of you that don't know, this is a great story, is that I was, of course, intimately involved in Keto Summit 2020. Jay was the master of ceremonies. We were starting this conference in the Midwest for the first time, really wanted to bring kind of the keto education to Omaha. And we had built this thing and I called Jay. I bet you can remember what day it was. Actually, I didn't call him. I texted him.
You texted me first and said, hey, we need to meet tonight.
All I said was, we need to meet. And I invited Jay over to my house and he walks in. And it was one of those where you walk in and the person is sitting at the kitchen table.
Yes.
I'm sure if we were married, he probably thought I was going to serve divorce papers.
She cried. I never saw her cry.
Immediately started crying. And Jay sat down at the kitchen table and I said, I can't come to Keto Summit. And for those of you that have been living under a rock, not the rock, because the rock called me and he invited me to come try out for Titan Games. So for those of people that don't understand, you actually have to try out for the show. So I hadn't even been selected for the show. So here I was absolutely putting my reputation on the line.
A whole 6 months of time into this program.
Backing out of a commitment that I committed to.
Yep.
And I had to tell Jay that I couldn't be there. And my presentation was going to have to be recorded. Thankfully, I tried out. The Rock asked me to come be on Titan Games. I finished in top six of all women on the show. What an incredible experience. But the reason I'm freaking excited to be
yes.
at Keto Summit this year is because
you'll be
nobody
here.
Got to see me in person.
Oh my gosh. People were like, oh my gosh, she's not here. Keto Summit was your birth baby here because of the influences that you saw on the East and West Coast. And you said, we need to bring something here accessible to the Midwest people and not charge East and West Coast prices.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's yeah. affordable, and the vibe that you're going to get at Keto Summit Omaha is that it's going to inspire you to change your life. You're not going to remember all the science and all the details
nope.
and when you leave, because it's a day and a half of programming, and you're going to be overwhelmed just because we haven't had social events in a really long time. So you might just, you know, have to remember how to interact with other humans. No,
yes.
I'm joking, but kind of, not really. But it's going to be incredible. And it's August 19th and 20th. And we have an amazing lineup of speakers. Maria Embrich, huge. She's written some incredible ketogenic cookbooks. I definitely use a lot of her recipes. Tom Shea, a retired Navy SEAL, author of Three Simple Things and Unbreakable.
Yes.
He is incredible. Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, another powerhouse female in this space, very protein forward and practices what we call muscle-centric medicine. Dr. Robert Sivas,
yep.
Dr. Ken Berry, Cynthia
yes.
Thurlow is coming to talk about fasting and intermittent fasting. Did I leave anyone out? I think that's it. And then me, I'm actually
going
to take the stage.
Oh, yeah, she's
going to
be here.
That stage right there. I'm going to walk these high heels up there, okay?
Yes.
You better believe I'm going to wear some
Unless
really nice looking Miss
calls
America
again.
Doctor. Yeah, I promise. The Rock, if you're listening, DJ, do not screw this up, okay? Do not screw this up. We got 6 weeks.
Yes.
We're going to be there August 19th and 20th. But what I really want to talk about and what I want you to share is that after Keto Summit Omaha happens, August 19th and 20th, August 21st and 22nd, we're going to walk, you and I.
50 miles.
It might be like 54.
It's 54.7 if you want to be exact.
We're going to walk from Lincoln, Nebraska to Omaha, Nebraska. But I want you to, let's roll back a year, okay? Because this walk did happen in 2020. What was one thing you didn't say about yourself when you introduced yourself is that you're a veteran.
Yes, I'm a veteran. Yes.
So please tell people about your history of being a veteran and where did the idea of this walk come from and who's it benefiting, and tell us more about it.
So I'm probably going to tell you something more that you probably haven't heard from yet either. 10 years I served in the Air Force. I was 17 when I enlisted, 18 when I left California. I just wanted to leave, right? I was just an angry teenager. I'm out of here. I'm going to travel the world, which I did. I got to see a lot of different continents, Germany, Japan, Italy, the list goes on, right? Greece, England. And I traveled the world and I was fed orders like, here's what you need to do. Here's where you need to be. This is what you need to do. So we were programmed, which is great, right? Then I left the military. I went through a really bad divorce and I remember sleeping on people's couches. Because I was home insecure. I was not stable with housing. I was very embarrassed about my situation and pretty much lost everything. And sleeping in church parking lots and sleeping in my car. And here I am, a grown 28-year-old man, or 27 and a half at the time. And I was homeless, right? I didn't ever even think of that. I just thought of it as a bad year of being 28. As I grew up and got older, I noticed that we have a problem with our veterans transitioning back to real life. And some of them are homeless, some of them have PTSD, some of them have other issues, right? Battle wounded. Some of them never came back home. So again, I used to say, I want to help people, but I'm actually doing this. So last year we it was just going to be a few people.
Well, you had a birthday. You were going to commit to doing this big hard thing, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you had a milestone birthday?
Yes, 50 years old last year.
He's actually 26, for those of you that can't
exactly.
see him.
Exactly, this is the keto lifestyle. And if you can't, your filter's really bad. But anyhow, no, and I had this milestone birthday. I said, I'm going to walk 50 miles. We had to postpone it because of COVID, but we pushed it to September. It still happened. And we walked 50 miles, 22 hours straight.
And you were going to do this by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the original intent.
Right.
For $2,500. For what?
Homeless veterans, Guitars for Vets. They help veterans with PTSD and homeless veterans. That is moving vets forward. Sorry, I just got so much in my mind. Moving veterans forward. And I told Jamie about this, and she kind of mentioned, you know, a couple weeks ahead of time. You're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And you said, I might walk with you. Oh, no, I have a photo shoot that day because of...
So because of COVID, I mean, I told him I was interested, not committed.
Yeah. Interested.
I was interested. But with what happened with, you know, coronavirus and COVID is that I was running for Mrs. Nebraska.
Yes.
And the pageant kept getting moved and moved. It was going to be in June. Then it was going to be in August. And literally, it was going to coincide like a week apart from Jay's walk. And so I thought... I don't know, like, this is a lot, you know, all at once. And so I go on to win Mrs. Nebraska.
She won.
On a Saturday.
I remember this.
On a Saturday. Did the walk start on a Friday?
The walk was the week.
It started on a Friday. So I called Jay on Wednesday. Wednesday. 2 days before this walk was supposed to happen. And I said, I'm going to walk with you. I had just been crowned Mrs. Nebraska. I thought, what an incredible opportunity. Get out there, put your crown on, and let's bring a little exposure
I was
to
floored when
what
you
Jay
said,
was doing.
I was floored when you said, I'm going to do this with you. I was like, what? You are? And I still didn't know what to expect, right?
So then, and he said, I got a couple other friends that are, you know, say they're going to come.
Right.
20 people.
Right.
And then not very many show. But then my husband, who's a police officer, is like, you're doing what? Wait, you're going to walk on like the highway from Lincoln to Omaha? Yeah, babe, we're going to go to the state capitol. I'm going to put my shoes on. I'm going to walk through the night.
Yes.
This is great. I'm going to raise all this money. I'm going to help out a friend. And he's like, you can't do this. I'm going to do it with you.
And he jumped in.
I worked that Friday, worked an entire day in clinics, seeing patients. He worked an entire day as a police officer all day long. And then we both show up at 5 p.m. Jay had kind of like gotten people riled up a little bit. There was like, let's see, total of three other people.
Three
other people.
Yes.
I kissed my babies goodbye. I said, I'm going to, you know, Facebook and Instagram a little so you guys know I'm alive.
Mom was there.
And then, of course, for photo ops, I was like, okay, I'm going to put my crown and sash on. I thought, I'm going to wear this through the city. As we're walking, you probably don't remember this. Jay Morales says, bet you can't wear that all the way to
Omaha. All the way to Omaha. I do remember that.
And if you guys don't know who I am, I'm really competitive. And I'm like, I'm going to wear this all the way to Omaha. You guys, I got a scab, like a literal, like a blister scab right where my crown sat. But I wore it the entire way. And we raised how much money?
$25,000 when we only thought we could raise $2,500. But again, with Jamie's influence and her connections and how widespread this became, she told this many people and then this many people found out and it became a thing. People are honking on the interstate and on the highway in and people are like, hey, this is Nebraska. You know, it was so amazing, but this is what I talk about, being committed. These are the people in my tribe. And so this year, we are doing it right after this show. I mean, we are literally, thank you everybody for showing up. Friday night we'll be done. We'll have one sleep. Saturday we will wake up. We will line up on the steps of the Capitol. And I think we will have about 10 walkers this time.
We're gonna have more than 10.
Right. We have a convoy. We have everything short of a military helicopter that will escort us this time. Safe route, all that stuff. But we are almost, I'm almost overwhelmed at all the things going on. And we were talking about this before the podcast. I don't ever not want to be busy. I want to be serving others effectively because that's what fills my cup. That's what gets me going, right? I'm not worried about, well, you're going to be on your feet Thursday and Friday, and I want to feel the pain on Saturday through Sunday for what a veteran goes through, mm-hmm. right? And what our people who have served our military go through. I want to feel like what it feels like when someone lays down on a hard, cold sidewalk while we're curled up in our nice home, right? I want people to become aware that there's about 197 people a night just in Omaha that happens to.
Yeah, I remember this time in the walk. It was 2 a.m.
Oh,
Jay and I are walking. We're starting to hurt. It's pitch black. There's owls flying at our head. There's skunks running across the highway. There's drunk drivers.
Yes.
It got sketchy. And I was thinking to myself, you know, oh, my legs hurt. Oh, my this hurt. And then all I could think of is when I get back to Omaha, I'm going to get in my ice bath. I'm going to drink my electrolytes. Oh. And I'm going to go snuggle in my really nice bed in my really nice house.
Yes.
And remembering that there are literally people every single night, veterans who served our country that have no idea where they're going to stay that night. You know, you talked about just being home insecure. Like, I mean, that's a thing too, that I don't think people even realize.
Right.
You know, people that go from couch to couch to couch.
And they do.
They're not sure if they're going to get a meal that night. So these two organizations, Moving Veterans Forward and Guitars for Veterans, incredible organizations that are helping veterans in our community. And I challenge anybody in any other state, if you want to do, you know, something similar and start this grassroots movement, it's an incredible thing to do. And Jay and I were playing this David Goggins video.
Oh my gosh, can't hurt me.
If you feel the pain, it means you're alive.
Yes.
And I looked at Jay and I'm like, I know it hurts, Jay, but it means we're alive. It means we're alive. And yep. I said on the last podcast, life is short. We don't know how much time we're going to have here, and we need to make it all absolutely worth it. So to end this podcast, you guys, of course, I always said I was going to bring you the semen analysis. No science today. But today on the semen analysis, I challenge you, after you listen to this podcast, to go do a act of kindness for somebody in your life, an unsolicited act of kindness, because what the, you know, the energy that you put out in the world, it comes back to you. So
absolutely.
That's short and sweet for the semen analysis today. Jay, thank you for being a guest on the Fit and Fabulous podcast.
Thank you.
Can you tell all these amazing people where they can find you and where they can find your new book when it comes out?
This is awesome. So book comes out September 30th. I'll have an actual launch event, but if you can just remember this, Let'sGo321.com. Let'sGo321.com. All one word, all letters together. Let'sGo321.com. And you can find me. I'll be one of her followers on her Instagram, one of her 100,000 followers.
Yeah. Jay has social media handles too, but he's such an integral part of Keto Summit. So if you guys are interested, go check out www.ketosummitomaha.com and you can see Jay right up there on that stage. He is like the ultimate master of ceremonies. This man knows how to run an event. I've seen him run other events too. He's incredible. So thank you guys for listening to our second episode of the Fit and Fabulous podcast. And once again, thank you for leaving reviews on Apple Podcasts, and thank you for downloading this podcast, Jay. Thank you. It's been incredible.
Thank you for being a shining light. I appreciate you.